And he said, "Ryan, I'm regaining possession of something that is near and dear to my heart, that actually points to my nature as creator and as innovator. And it will lead people to a radical discovery that I made them in my image on purpose and for a purpose, and that we can use tech to bring the good news of Christ to all the ends of the earth."
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi guys, thank you for tuning in to today's what's going to be a seriously empowering, important conversation in this week's episode of Live Your Best Life with, of course, me, Liz Wright. And my special guest joining me for today's conversation is the president of Bethel College in Redding in California. He's the CEO of Bethel School of Technology, also known as Bethel Tech, which you're going to hear more about. And he is now the author of a seriously important, empowering book called The God of Tech. He is a man of such integrity and vision and faith and courage. You're going to be so inspired as you listen to the conversation with Ryan Collins today. Ryan, welcome.
Liz, thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, honestly, it's a joy. And I was just, as you know, I was saying before, when we were backstage before we jumped on, I have been so excited listening to your podcast conversations with your amazing wife and dipping into your book and just so inspired. It's like when I read your content and listen to you talking, my faith rises and hope rises inside of me. And it's like you provide us with a lens, a divine lens to see life through, I think. And particularly, obviously, your experience in the most influential space in the world, right? Tech. So just to begin with, the people that haven't heard you speaking before and are not familiar with you, will you give us a little bit of your God story, your backstory that led you to the point of starting Bethel Tech? Because
yeah, absolutely.
For life. So
yeah. So my wife and I will be married 20 years in March. We have three beautiful daughters. We have a 16-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 7-year-old. And it's interesting, my background is in journalism. So I went to school to be a sports writer. And I thought that was the path the Lord was leading me on. And then he has a fun way of leading us into places that we have to completely trust him. And so I got into online higher education back in 2007, really out of necessity, Liz. It was a situation where I was a contract writer in Dallas, Texas, and it was, you know, the highs and lows of 1 month having a good month in writing and the next month just trying to scrape by. And my wife and I really wanted to, we wanted to start a family. We wanted to get a home. And so I had a friend at church who was working for a university, and he had asked me if I wanted to come and be a business development rep for that university. And it was a steady paycheck. So I said, yes. And it was a sales role. And I had made this inner vow that I would never get into sales. In fact, right after college, I worked for 2 weeks at a Toyota dealership in mid-Missouri. And I didn't even get out of the training room because I couldn't stand the manipulative tactics that they were asking me to do to try to sell these cars. So anyways, but it was a sales role. And I would go into these companies and I would help their employees figure out a way to use higher education as an opportunity for a career progression, promotion, and increase in pay, and really go after the things that they've always wanted to go after in terms of their career. And I would be in a break room at a Walmart at 11 o'clock at night, and a single mom would come in and she'd be super tired and she'd sit down and we'd just start talking about her life. And she'd tell me that, you know, she dreamed of being an accountant or something along those lines. And I could come alongside her in her journey and make that dream, help make that dream come true because of the type of program that we were offering was online. It came to her. And so I never, from that day forward, never saw it as sales. I just saw it as an opportunity to be a part of someone's journey in fulfilling their personal and professional goals. So anyways, I share that backstory because over the course of 17 years, and 10 in the next 10 years, I moved up in helping corporations use higher education as an opportunity to grow their employees. And I was with a company, and we had a coding boot camp out of Akron, Ohio. And I was responsible for creating partnerships with companies like IBM and Microsoft, Liberty Mutual, Cigna, so that these companies could hire our students, but also to send their employees to our program so they could move them into tech roles. These companies, they consider themselves tech companies, even if it was like Bank of America or Chipotle, they all were falling over themselves to get qualified talent in the tech industry. And there just wasn't enough talent to meet the need. So, anyways, we had this little boot camp out of Akron, Ohio, and it was a massive success. These companies really wanted to focus on hiring our graduates and reskilling their employees. And then, Liz, we had this tech hire grant in Queens, New York. It was a $4 million grant that I helped co-lead with LaGuardia Community College. And it was designed to help a highly impoverished community learn in-demand tech skills so that they could get high-paying, high-growth careers and change their whole dynamic. And so, anyways, we would have these single moms bus into our program. They learn a coding language called Java for 16 weeks. And then 3 months later, they get these $80,000 jobs. And I had this thought in my heart, Liz. I had this thought. It was that this is how you transform community. As soon as I had that thought, the Lord said to me, "You're absolutely right, Ryan. Would you build something like this with me?" Where people didn't just discover what they're capable of, but they discovered their identity as my son and my daughter, and I love them dearly, and I have a plan and a purpose for them, and ultimately, I want to have personal, intimate relationship with them. I didn't know it at the time. That was 2015, but that was the seed of Bethel Tech being planted in my heart. And then 2 years later, we ended up starting Bethel Tech, moving out to Reading, which is a crazy story in and of itself. But that's the journey the Lord brought me on over the course of really 17 years to utilize education and focus on tech as an opportunity to usher the presence of change people's lives and lead them to a closer relationship with the Lord, but then also to usher the presence of God into the most influential space, which is the tech space.
Because the tech space influences every other sector of society, doesn't it? When you are unpacking that, when I was reading through your book and listening to you, I thought, yeah, it really does. It really is. It influences everywhere. It's the gate, isn't it, for, like you say, the information age to be able to access all other spheres of life. So it's seriously important that we are either participating in it or praying for it, involved in some way because of the impact of it. And I love that the Lord gave you his heart, to be able to empower people. Wow. And to bring people through equipping out of poverty, but also into identity and relationship and purpose is just profound. One of the things that blew me away when I was listening to you was I didn't realize that the whole tech industry was originally God's idea. So will you talk to us a little bit about what happened like 150 years ago with these spirit-led innovators?
Yeah, so this is really where that moment, that aha moment came for me to write the book. So about a year after we started Bethel Tech, so Bethel Tech is the first and it's still the only online Christian coding boot camp in the world. So we equip kingdom-minded believers with the most in-demand tech skills so they can go into the most influential space and serve companies with excellence in both skill and character and lead them to an encounter with the love of Christ. And so we knew when we announced this in late 2017 that there'd be churches and ministries that would be cheering us on. But one of the unexpected impacts, Liz, was that we started getting invited to Facebook and to Google and to Apple and to LinkedIn and to Salesforce. And it wasn't the tech skills that piqued their curiosity. It was the fact that on top of that, we focus on character building skills like culture of honor, healthy relationship and community, brave communication, trustworthiness. These are all kingdom values, but they're also the same soft skills that companies are investing millions of dollars to improve their workplace culture. So we did this panel discussion at Google on the intersection of Christianity and technology. It's wild, these conversations that we had. And even though they couldn't align with our faith, they did see us as one of the first coding schools that was intentionally focused on that character piece. So we had a seat at the table because of our kingdom values, which was really awesome. So, anyways, I was in the Bay Area. I had just got done meeting with LinkedIn, and I was driving across the Bay Bridge to meet with Apple. And I was in bumper to bumper traffic on the Bay Bridge, and I heard the Lord say something that really became the catalyst for the book. He said, "Ryan, I'm redeeming the tech space so that all would taste and see my goodness. It's my goodness that leads man to repentance." And so my initial thought was that he was going to graft something in that was built apart from him. He was going to use it for good. But then about 6 months later, I was driving again and he said, "Ryan, what do you think I meant when I said redeem the tech space?" And I thought, "Well, I think you're going to build something in that was built apart from you." And he's like, No, go see what the word redeem means." So as soon as I could, I drove off on an exit and I Googled the definition of redeem, and it means regain possession of. And he said, "Ryan, I'm regaining possession of something that is near and dear to my heart, that actually points to my nature as creator and as innovator. And it will lead people to a radical discovery that I made them in my image on purpose and for a purpose, and that we can use tech to bring the good news of Christ to all the ends of the earth." And so that piqued my curiosity, Liz. I had to know, if he's regaining possession of something, was there a point in modern history where he partnered with spirit-led believers to create the foundation of our modern tech space? And it's incredible. He did. Over 150 years ago at Cambridge University in the UK, there were these radical spirit-led believers. There was Michael Faraday, there was Charlie Babbage, who actually created a blueprint of our digital computer over 150 years ago. And then there was a guy named James Clerk Maxwell, and he was a Scottish physicist. And Einstein was once asked, "Do you stand on the shoulders of Newton?" He said, "No, I stand on the shoulders of Maxwell," because Maxwell was a physicist who ushered in a revolution in the way that physicists perceive the natural world. He believed that everything that we sensed in the natural world was only one part of the equation, that there had to be an invisible reality and a guiding force in this invisible reality that was causing everything to operate and exist. And Maxwell was this radical, devout believer who believed that God and science weren't mutually exclusive, but they were intrinsically and eternally linked. And that it was our responsibility to study the works of the hands of our Creator. And the more that we studied, the more that he would reveal his creativity and his innovation to us, and then through us, partnering with us to create radical heavenly solutions to bring heaven on earth and to solve the world's hardest problems. So it was from that perspective that he discovered that light was an electromagnetic wave, and that you could manipulate these waves in such a way that you could transfer information from one place to the next through invisible space. This is the foundation of what we're doing right now with this call. It's the foundation for Wi-Fi, for satellite, for radar, for mobile phones, for computers. Our modern technology stands on the shoulders of James Clerk Maxwell, who partnered with the Lord to want to look into the invisible realm and create a radical heavenly solution to move humanity heavenward. And I stole that from my wife, because the working kind of understanding of innovation in the tech space is to move humanity forward. I love that, but I think it's incomplete. Innovation, according to God, is to move humanity heavenward, so we have an eternal, intimate relationship with Him right now. So it was all based on this foundation of Maxwell. And then over the course of 150 years, the church hasn't taken the baton, and we've given the opportunity for the enemy to counterfeit something that has such wonderful power and impact. So we believe Bethel Tech is raising up the next Maxwells to take the baton. And there's an acceleration that the Lord will use kingdom-minded, spirit-led innovators to build things so that we can reveal Emmanuel, Christ with us. And it will activate a massive move of God.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I feel like crying. I mean, it's just so incredible, isn't it? And whoa, it was all God's idea. Who knew, right? The beginning. And that he wants to take the space back to touch the nations with his goodness through partnership. with his people as they get the vision and they realize and move in step with him in their own relationship and begin to take his love out and his brilliance, right? Showcase his brilliance. Oh my gosh, and his kindness is just stunning. Oh my gosh, there's so many questions that I want to ask you, Ryan. Oh. So one of the words you use, you say in your book, you're talking about the next great epoch, the great shift that's about to happen for planet Earth, for the good of mankind, to move us all heavenwards, so to speak, is really people beginning to be spirit-led. And so truly entering into that partnership and being able to receive the downloads of wisdom that are necessary to bring solution to the problems of mankind. And you call them solutionists, right? Innovators with God and solutionists. And I just thought, oh, that's brilliant. Because I mean, it's being a reformer, but it's beyond that, isn't it? It's that full partnership with Jesus. And that's what you equip people to do, right? You equip people with the technical know-how, the skill set, so that they can be very useful in that space. But you're also, and like you said, you're helping to export the kingdom's culture. It is going to provide goodness, you know, and a taste and an experience of the life we're supposed to be experiencing on planet Earth, you know, the way God did originally create it to be. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about that. When you're equipping people, I mean, it kind of crosses over, doesn't it? You're equipping specifically for the tech space because that's touching everywhere else, and the Lord's gripped your heart with His for it. But it applies to all of us, whatever walk of life, we can infect culture with the culture of the kingdom, can't we? We can bring His goodness and His love to change lives everywhere we walk. Okay, so my question is, can you share with us some of the tools, the keys of wisdom that you equip people with, that you're training to go in and move in their partnership with Holy Spirit to innovate and transform and become a solutionist?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the impact of Bethel Tech is multifaceted. So we have just the very practical level that we are providing these in-demand tech skills like software development, data science, UI/UX design, cybersecurity, machine learning. We're getting into artificial intelligence, all these things that are in high demand now and for the future of work. So we can raise up kingdom-minded believers with these skills so that they can go in and they can speak the language of this environment, and they can be the Daniels and the Josephs and the Esthers. So that's one aspect of it. The other aspect is something that happened with Bethel Tech, and I have a phenomenal team. You know, one of the things the Lord did whenever He put this on our heart was that He knows that you can't do it alone, and so He was so gracious and loving to provide a core team right from the beginning who we could just lock arms and run with. Richard Gordon, who I know you've interviewed before, is one of those solutionaries, these kingdom-minded solutionaries who think tridimensionally and use spiritual intelligence to create radical solutions with the Lord. Well, we also there were high-level executives at the who are Christians at these major tech companies who started reaching out to us, and they were like, "Thank you so much. We need more people like us in this space, and we want to see a move of God take shape." And I was thinking about one of these. So it's interesting, Liz, to answer your question. We have the practical, and then we get them jobs in these companies, but then we've become this unifier of these incredible Christian executives in the tech space, who now we get to bounce ideas off. We get to encourage, we get to give prophetic words. Honestly, what it is equipping the saints for ministry. And so I'll give you one example. We had this individual, his name is Paul. He was the head of a major tech company, the division in Canada. And he reached out to myself and to Richard, and we started meeting with him on a monthly basis. And he said to us, he said, "I love that we can do like Bible studies with our Christian affinity group at this tech company, but I want to see a move of God break out in this campus. I want to see people healed and set free. I want them to be overwhelmed with a sense of joy that can only come from their creator, from their good and loving Father." And so I said to him, I said, "Well, listen for the cry. They're crying out for it. They might not use the same Christian language that you and I are accustomed to. But listen when your coworker says that They have a physical ailment that they'll have to live with forever. Go after healing in the name of Jesus right then and there. Listen when a colleague says that their teenage son has suicidal thoughts, like break that spirit of oppression right then and there. You carry the authority of the kingdom of heaven wherever you go. And any inferior reality has to submit to that authority when you activate it in your environment. So the next month we get on a call and he is smiling ear to ear. He's like, guys, I was in an exec meeting the other day. This lady next to me said that she was losing hearing in her ear, and she just said it in passing, like it was a done deal. And it's just something that she was going to have to live with. He said, I knew that as soon as that meeting was over, I needed to go pray for her. So that's what he did. And he asked her, Liz, can I pray for you? And she thought that he was going to go home and pray for her, like a formality. And she's like, oh yeah, that's fine. He said, no, can I pray for you right now? And she said, oh, okay. So he declares healing over her hearing in the name of Jesus. And he lowers his head, he bows his eye, you know, he closes his eyes, and she does, she mirrors him, and he looks up and she's like, thank you so much. Nobody's ever prayed for me like that before. Nobody's ever prayed for me in person. Liz, that is a very important revelation. Perhaps it's not that people have outwardly rejected Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Perhaps nobody's ever presented the authentic love of Christ. We make these assumptions, but if you've never heard it, then your default to truth is actually a lie. It's the lie that has infiltrated and has infected science and technology, that we are not made on purpose and for a purpose, that we are somehow a fortuitous concourse of atoms that happened from an accident billions of years ago. Like, we have to get back to a discovery of our origin story. So anyways, he wakes up to a text the next morning and it said, you'll never believe it. My hearing is completely restored. Thank you so much for praying for me. He deposited the kingdom of heaven in that situation. And he had other radical stories that would blow your mind, Liz. And I will share one more.
Please do.
Okay, if you're good with it.
Yes. No, it's so encouraging and empowering.
Yeah. So anyways, so I'll just tell you, it was Twitter. And now X. He was the head of Twitter Canada. And when right before Elon Musk took over Twitter, there was all kinds of rumblings, and it was a very anxiety induced time for the entire staff at Twitter. They didn't know what to do. And, you know, say what you want about Elon. I heard a recent podcast where he said that he considers himself a cultural Christian, but he has created a town square for the freedom of ideas. And so before Elon took over Twitter, there were algorithms that suppressed Bible scriptures. So you try to put Bible scriptures out there and it wouldn't get out there. Well, anyways, there's all these rumblings that Elon's going to take over Twitter. So our friend from Canada, he reached out to Richard and I. He said, hey, would you be open to going with me to San Francisco and just praying over the campus? Pray that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Pray the blood of Jesus over this campus. And that this would be a platform that would be used to spread the good news of Jesus. And so we said yes. We went down there. We stopped by a Whole Foods. We got some frankincense to anoint the place. And it just so happens, Liz, that because of all of the concern and unrest, that the CEO at the time decided to institute a monthly day of rest. He instituted a Sabbath for Twitter without even knowing it. He's using a biblical principle. I mean, he didn't know that that's what he was doing. But anyways, when we get there, it was that monthly day of rest. So we had the campus entirely to ourselves. We prayed all day and we went around the campus and we anointed the doorposts of the rooms that the most important decisions are made. And we anointed the platform where the CEO makes the biggest announcements. The very next day, Elon took over Twitter. And again, say what you will about Twitter or X now or about Elon, but the gospel has been able to, it's been unlocked. You can now reach millions of people more through the X platform with the good news of Jesus than you were before Elon took over. So it's just, we need more of this, right? Like it sounds like, it's like, If you'll take that step of faith, the Lord will magnify and multiply it. I think that spirit-led believers need to understand the authority that they carry, and it's not relegated to the walls of a church building on a Sunday. That's awesome, but it's in the tech space, it's in the marketplace, it's in the education system, it's in public policy, it's in all these places that the church has largely not been present, but that needs to change. And we believe that Bethel Tech and Bethel College is one part of that equation to expand the body of Christ to all these different spheres.
Oh, come on. I mean, just fantastic. So inspirational. And by the way, I pray for Elon. I mean,
He's
you
incredible. Talk
know.
about a spirit-led innovator. It's just
Right.
being able to lift the veil, and I think he is. And I mean, how wonderful it will be when he does, and it'll be massive. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's at the body of Christ, we need to wrap around these influential people with our love and our prayer, rather than our opinions. I think it's super important and it's what any of us can do, wherever we're at in life. Oh my gosh. Okay, a million other questions, but anyway, we'll have to do part two. Just so inspirational talking to you. Okay, I want to ask you, like, personally, on your journey, what's been like, would you say, the most important or one of the most important lessons that you've learned along the way? And I'm really asking that question to draw out more inspirational nuggets from you for people who are listening who might be on their journey, in whatever sphere of life. It's like, you have the fruit of your walk that's profound now. Thank you, Jesus. So what would you say is like, to give away to other people, what would you say to them as being like the most important thing you've learned this far?
Yeah, it's going to sound really simple, but it is the intimate relationship with the Lord. So, in a really low spot in my life where we had a real estate investment go wrong, we were on the verge of bankruptcy. It was a really rough time. I was trying to basically own everything that I was doing instead of steward what the Lord had given me. And I had kind of compartmentalized my relationship with the Lord at that time. I was in my late 20s, early 30s. And we had this real estate investment that ended up being a Ponzi scheme. It was awful. This was 2008. And it was right when the housing bubble burst. And anyways, we did not have enough money to cover our bills. The bills were stacking up. We were going to get foreclosed. I was working a job 9 to 5 at a university. And then I got a job cleaning daycare centers in Frisco, Texas from 9 p.m. to 4 a.m. So 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., I was working my day job. Then 9 p.m. to 4 a.m., I was working cleaning these two daycare centers. And I just remember being so mad at God and crying. I was like, God, how could you let this happen to me? I wasn't trying to buy a Ferrari. I was just trying to feed my family. I was just trying to help my family. He said something to me. He said, "It's good to hear your voice, son." And when he called me son, it broke me, Liz. I mean, I hope that your listeners have that moment where every single time you go back to that moment with God, that you get teary-eyed. And he said to me, "Ryan, I never wanted this to happen to you. I tried to tell you." And he did. He gave me tons of warning signs. I blew through the warning signs. He said, "But if you'll trust me, I will not only get you through this, I will take you to a place you could never even dream of." And it was in that moment, and I really leaned on the scripture, Proverbs 3:5-6. Most of you know it. It's trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. That word acknowledge in the Hebrew is the word yada. It's the most intimate form of knowing. It's the same word we see in Genesis 4:1. It says, Adam knew Eve and they conceived. And so when we have a yada relationship with the Lord, when we have that intimate relationship with that is the most important thing. Everything else is just the fruit or manifestation of that yada relationship with the Lord. So everything that, and by the way, the Lord got us out of that situation. It is a radical story. I talk about it in detail in my book. It's in chapter 7. So if you guys are interested to see how a goofball like me almost self-sabotaged himself and the Lord took me out of the pit. But what he was doing in rescuing us in that moment, he was simultaneously preparing us for Bethel Tech 10 years later. It's wild. So anyways, that yada relationship is always the most important. And if I'm just being honest with you, Liz, sometimes because you get busy, you have new things that happen, and you don't intentionally put the Lord on the back burner. But there have been times where it's like, oh, I'm not spending as much time with him as I usually do. And that means talking in the car. That's when I got that spirit-led download about James Clerk Maxwell and redeeming the tech space. And but he'll remind me of that moment in the daycare center, not from a place of fear, but to say, Ryan, I love the time that we got to spend together then. And that it was interesting. I probably cleaned those daycare centers for another 3 months after that, but I had the most radical moments with the Lord in the middle of the night, just him and I. And so I'll level set and be like, oh, okay, something got out of frequency here. It's I need to get back on that frequency. And that's what it's all about. And you'll be astonished where the Lord takes you. It'll surprise you. It'll blow your mind. If you will just spend time with him and have that yada relationship, you will conceive radical heavenly solutions to solve the world's hardest problems. Don't disqualify yourself because you don't think that you're a business person or a tech person. Like, you have embedded in your DNA that creative spirit that is the same creative spirit that made you and created the world, you know? So that's what I would say is the most important thing for me.
Oh, I love that. The yada relationship. I love that. It is the truth, isn't it? Just knowing him as the priority of your life and then knowing who you are. And then through that intimacy, his purposes are burst into the earth through our life, right? We begin to participate in the relationship that enables us to be the solutionist that we already are, right? It's part of our birthright as his image. Oh my gosh. Ryan, thank you so much for being with us. And just very quickly in finishing, where do people find you if they want to jump on and get to know you a little bit more and get your content and even come into the school?
Well, I mean, you can follow me on social. I don't even know what my Instagram handle is. I'm so sorry. I have a website. It's briancollins.info. You can find all of that. My book is on there. You can get a free chapter. If the book is on Amazon, it's online with all the major different places. And then our website is bethelcollege.edu. And then you can click on Bethel Tech. Or we have a school of music, we have a conservatory, we have a liberal arts degree, we're building a school of business, which I am like through the roof excited. And so and there'll be more things that we do, but you can go to those different places and find me reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you.
Just amazing. Just amazing. Empowering people to take back the space that already belongs to Jesus.
So cool.
Just love it. And every other walk of life. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Ryan. We so appreciate you. Thanks for spending time with me.
It's my honor and pleasure. Thank you so much, Liz.
And guys, I told you you'd be inspired and empowered. Have the most amazing week. And we pray blessings on all that you're doing. And most importantly of all, on your yada relationship with Jesus. And I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless.
2 years ago, Jesus spoke to me and he said if I would create a space for him, he would come. And what he has done in the last 2 years is absolutely incredible. He birthed what is now known as the International Mentoring Community. Every week, myself, along with other international guest speakers, come on live and they pour in God's love and revelation. There is an activation anointing on my life. And so every single week, as we come together at the feet of Jesus, I have an environment in which I can impart this anointing onto you. He never, ever misses a week with us. He wants to take you into deeper experiences with him than you thought was even possible. So I want to personally invite you now to come and join us and sit at his feet with us.